Have you ever felt that unsettling sensation that beneath our daily routines and social niceties lies a disturbing truth we collectively refuse to acknowledge? Thomas Ligotti's cult philosophical work, The Conspiracy Against the Human Race, tears away this comforting veil with surgical precision. This isn't just another philosophical treatise, it's an unflinching journey into the darkest corners of human existence that has influenced everything from HBO's True Detective to contemporary horror literature. The central premise is both simple and devastating. Human consciousness itself is the ultimate cosmic horror, and our entire civilization functions as an elaborate conspiracy to hide this unbearable truth from ourselves. Once, our ancestors existed in unself-conscious unity with the natural world, experiencing life directly without reflection or self-awareness. Then, something catastrophic happened. Consciousness emerged. We began seeing ourselves as separate entities, feeling diminished beneath vast star-filled skies that suddenly seemed to stretch into infinite darkness. Death transformed from a simple biological event into something meaningful and terrifying. This evolutionary leap represents what philosopher Peter Wessel Zappic called a damning surplus of consciousness. Far from being our crowning achievement, consciousness became our existential catastrophe, a biological paradox, an abomination, an absurdity. Life had overshot its target, arming us with a spirit that threatened our own well-being. We became conscious minds trapped in physical bodies, forever torn between transcendent thoughts and base materiality. Without mechanisms to limit this awareness, we would collapse under the weight of the brotherhood of suffering between everything alive. To survive, we artificially limit our consciousness through various defense mechanisms: isolation, compartmentalizing disturbing thoughts; anchoring, attaching ourselves to stabilizing beliefs; distraction, keeping our minds occupied; and sublimation, transforming our fears into art and philosophy. Here's a disturbing thought. We can choose to do anything within our abilities, except choose what our choices will be. This philosophical position of determinism creates a paradox. To truly choose our choices would require an infinite regression of selves making choices about choices. We are, in essence, puppets who believe themselves to be autonomous individuals. No true determinist exists in everyday life, as none can shake the feeling of having free will. We can reason that we're determined by observing causality, but cannot experientially feel ourselves as determined. To sincerely claim, "I am nothing but a human puppet," would suggest mental illness. Our attachment to moral responsibility supports the optimistic reality most call home. The illusion of free will is inseparable from our sense of self. Though determinism may be logical, our feeling of selfhood makes denying responsibility impossible. This creates paradoxes where we feel morally responsible for events beyond our control. The self's uncanny nature lies in its complete lack of evidence. Like the soul, it can be felt but never found. Yet we cling to this spectral entity, believing we own our experiences rather than merely having them. Why does something exist rather than nothing? No philosopher has satisfactorily answered this question, suggesting our fundamental uneasiness with existence itself. Most humans share an internal pattern of feeling about what's right or wrong, and when violated, we experience wrongness, the uncanny. Even ordinary objects can suddenly become uncanny when they cease to be familiar and instead appear as something unnameable. Your shoes might suddenly appear as abstract lumps of matter without fixed meaning. And what if you looked at yourself, the most everyday object, and felt unable to attach meaning to what is being seen or what is seeing it? Depression reveals this uncanny truth about existence. When our emotions, which give meaning to life, evaporate, we discover our old self isn't inviolable. Without emotion, nothing is compelling. Reality becomes a vacuous affair with only chemical prestige. In depression, you learn nothing is inherently beautiful or meaningful. Everything processes as mere sensory data. We live on our emotions arbitrarily, yet without them, everything would stop. Nothing to do, nowhere to go, no one to know. For millennia, humanity has debated the value of existence. Most conclude, being alive is all right, while a tiny minority find existence objectionable, viewing life as an inescapable nightmare. The first group comprises optimists, the second, self-aware pessimists. This fundamental disagreement remains unresolvable. Most contemplative individuals publicly side with optimists, supporting human continuation. Those who object to existence rarely receive admiration for their philosophy. Through Zapf's four mechanisms, isolation, anchoring, distraction, and sublimation, we shield ourselves from confronting life's startling and dreadful possibilities. We survive through self-deception, avoiding seeing ourselves as unreality on legs. Without this cognitive double-dealing, we'd glimpse the emptiness beneath our constructed identities, a carnival where all the rides are moving but no patrons occupy the seats. The criticism that pessimists should kill themselves misunderstands that concluding one would be better off never having been born doesn't logically require suicide. Every negation, even suicide, contains some affirmative element, as an unequivocal no cannot be fully expressed. Unlike other organisms, humans are burdened with awareness of our mortality, knowing we're merely hunks of spoiling flesh on disintegrating bones. Zappa proposes human extinction through voluntary non-reproduction as the solution. His Last Messiah proclaims, "Know yourselves, be infertile, and let the earth be silent after ye." This Messiah offers no salvation, only permanent erasure. Similarly, David Benatar argues in Better Never to Have Been that non-reproduction is morally preferable, since suffering is inevitable, while the unborn miss nothing. Yet Zapf recognized humanity will never orchestrate its own end. The delusionals will perpetuate suffering across generations. Horror fiction artistically expresses these philosophical insights. Supernatural horror features malevolent forces that overturn reality. Puppets and dolls frequently appear as symbols connected to a world of harm and disorder that might be our true reality. Perhaps the most terrifying fate in horror is becoming objectified, reduced to a composite mechanism exiled from humanity while forced to observe what we believe to be human from a sinister sphere. The horror of consciousness, our awareness of being alive and destined to die, remains merely a philosopher's bedtime story we hear at night but forget by morning. We care nothing for the horror of shadows without selves or puppet heads bobbing in the wind. We who remain will make more puppets, though we call them people with indivisible selves. Being somebody is rough, but being nobody is out of the question. We must believe despite absurdity, cultivating positive illusions while ignoring those who couldn't bear existence. Humanity acclimates to every horror, continuing until it stops, with generations falling into the future like so many bodies into open graves. Society demands we hide existential afflictions because the world runs on happy time rather than pain time. Our species moves geologically slow toward enlightenment, ensuring humanity will expire before collectively declaring enough of this era of conscious life. We trudge through decades of waking, experiencing the complete gamut of agitations, then collapsing into dream-haunted sleep. Though ending the conspiracy seems right, nothing we know would have us take that step. We are only human beings, puppets who cannot bear to see our strings.